You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Experts in the morning, as we get you to prepare for life after the 44th President of the United States and drafting Todd Gurley in round one. Both were somber moments, but they all could have been avoided. And we're trying to find the people responsible and hold them accountable for their actions. Right here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm with the King, Scott Angle, and of course the Fantasy Executive. Do you think you had more interest in this election, Scott, than any other election in your lifetime?
Oh, definitely.
For the presidency?
Definitely. This was the first time I was actually like riveted to the TV coverage of the polls. And it was interesting because I was doing my in-season ranks last night on rotoexperts.com. You can get them right now. Part of your exclusive edge in-season fantasy football package on rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio checkup for a special discount, an extra discounted right now for the playoffs. But I was trying to do in-season ranks and, you know, watch the polls at the same time. And, you know, it's usually stuff like that, like, doesn't get interrupted by other non-sports things. And it did last night. You know, until last night, the only other thing that could interrupt my sports watching was The Walking Dead. And last night it was the Pulse. By the way, I do have my Cleveland Browns projection when you're ready.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, that's topical. We want to hear that because it's all about defeat today. So what do you have?
I believe that there's only about a 20% chance that they go winless. I really think they'll lose to Baltimore this week. But I believe the following week at home, they're going to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think winless teams like this, I've seen it, rivalry game, divisional game, at home, those are the perfect scenarios for a team like that. I originally thought that they would lose to the Jets because the Jets had been, four times in their history, had allowed a winless team to lose win their first game against them. So I thought the Jets were going to do it again. And for a little while, it looked like that was going to happen. If they don't beat the Steelers, which I think they will, 2 weeks later, they host the Bengals. They're going to win one of those two games.
And there you have it there. Mr. Fantasy Executive, what would you put the percentage? What would you put the percentage on the Browns going with no wins on the season?
I think the Browns, the percentage on them going with no wins, I think there's about a quarter, a 25% chance they finish the season 0-16. I think that, and I agree with, I think they have opportunities on the schedule. I think they win this upcoming week. And if they don't, they're going to beat one of the AFC North teams. I think they're too familiar with those teams. Hugh Jackson been in that division for a long time. So I think they rally around whatever quarterback and they come out there and they get at least one win this season. But they have to attack the quarterback position in the draft.
Why do you think they're going to beat Baltimore this week?
Because Baltimore's not that good either.
No, they're 500 team. They're better than the Browns.
Well, the Browns are zero.
Yes. I just don't. Can you give me, like, I'll be like Tony.
Can you give me something more concrete that
they're just not that
I
good?
I like the division. I like the fact that the familiarity of the division matchup. These division games are the games that you're more comfortable with. These are the games that you get up for more. I know they're on the road. It could be a trap game for the Baltimore Ravens coming off a big win versus the Steelers.
How can it be a trap game though when they're 500 and they really
because
beat
the victory? They just beat the Ravens. I mean, they just beat the Steelers.
I feel like it's too key for them right now with their record.
Okay. We'll see how it plays out. That kicks off, that's Thursday night? That kicks off week 10.
Thursday night.
We'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah. The the current Browns against the original Browns.
Yes. What's up, Tone?
Yes. Fantasy Executive, is this the most you've ever paid attention to polling that you did not have dollar bills in your hand?
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, I got to say, well, I got to say it was. It was rare. The polls were wrong. You know what I mean? So there goes that.
Yeah.
See, the polls that I see with the dollar bills, Tone, I already know that's wrong. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, I already know that's a bad idea. You know what I'm saying? But I indulge. You know what I'm saying? But this situation right here, oh, this is a headache.
The last time I indulged in polls that didn't involve any money was like a Britney Spears video I got fascinated with like 10 years ago, when she would dance around the pole in the video, and I kept watching it over and over again, and it was kind of crazy. It was taking over my life.
Good job, though. That's a good. I mean, that's what. Hey, listen, it's all good now. Everything is out the window now.
People say to me, Scott, you have no vices. You don't smoke. You don't drink, you don't do this, you don't do that. Well, if you had one vice, what would it be? Ask the guys at the FSTA convention. It's like the poll.
Really?
You like the poll?
Yeah.
It's interesting. That's your vice?
The stripper poll. That's what I don't want to talk about.
I thought that was an Anderson Cooper reference.
I'm sure it was.
Let the bombs be accurate.
Let the bombs be accurate. Prove it.
Yeah. I'm married. You're single and you got a roommate.
Oh,
hey, Elton
boy.
John was married, so don't be carried away.
Eddie Murphy, too.
Yeah.
Not many times he's been caught.
I've already proven this morning that I am a man of my word by going back to my summer predictions. So, you know, I'm not going to throw something out there if it ain't true.
Okay, on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio, we have a poll question. Who is to blame for you not drafting Matt Ryan on your fantasy football squad? Is it, one, the illogical fantasy expert, or two, Russell Wilson? When you look at this situation, it's calling to the fact that maybe you drafted Russell Wilson instead of Matt Ryan. And second, the fantasy expert told you to draft Russell Wilson instead of Matt Ryan. Who do you blame here, Mr. Fantasy Executive?
I got to put this one back on the individual user. I'm not going to put this on the expert. I'm going to put this on the user, because we've been saying, harping, preaching for years and years and years, wait on your quarterback, wait on your quarterback, wait on your quarterback. People that drafted Cam in the third round this year, he was so tremendous last year because you were drafting him in double-digit rounds. And now we're seeing the same thing for Matt Ryan this year. Matt Ryan is a player that I have owned, and I own on a couple of teams, drafted him as a quarterback too, and thought that he would be a guy that I can stream. Right now, he is locked into my starting lineup. Team like Atlanta with a bad defense and a good offense, always going to be in those track meet type games. We now see Matt Ryan, I mean, just playing phenomenal football right now. So I'm not saying I was calling Matt Ryan, but he was a player that I was in on. I think he was in that spot where you can get a quarterback for cheap that could pan off a payoff. And Tone, I mean, let's look at some of the throws that he's had this season. The one in the game a couple weeks ago, not this past weekend, not even against Tampa, but 2 weeks ago, when he threw that 50-something-yard touchdown pass to Taylor Gabriel, you could not have put that football in a better spot. Matt Ryan is locked in right now, and I'm ready to rock him and roll him all the way to Week 16.
Rocking him to Week 16. Scotty, what's your thoughts? Who's to blame for you not drafting Matt Ryan on your fantasy football squad? Was it the illogical fantasy expert, or was it Russell Wilson?
I blame Matt Ryan with the secondary to his head coach. Because last year, Matt Ryan had the worst season of his pro career. And look, already, he's thrown more touchdown passes than he threw last year. Last year, he threw 16 interceptions. This year, he had 4. We were hoping for Matt Ryan to get back to respectability, because going into last year, we knew Matt Ryan as a guy who always had a high floor, who was never elite. I don't think anybody saw this coming, and anybody wanted Matt Ryan based on last year. We wanted Matt Ryan to get back to being a respectable guy. Nobody was expecting this kind of season. He went from his worst season to his best season, and nobody saw it
second,
coming.
Second year with the new system, with the new regime, so he's more comfortable in that.
I expect the interceptions
were disturbing. Yeah. The interceptions were disturbing last season, especially when they came in the red zone, and he threw some red zone picks too. But the offensive line had shored up this season. The offensive line was playing better this season. We knew that they were going to be able to rely on the run a little bit. So I mean, I can pull up draft board, Scott. I was in on the guy.
Telling me that he was going to? You thought he was going to be elite though, and he was going to have the best season of his career?
No, I'm not saying.
The offensive line doesn't account for his decision making that he couldn't pick up the offense.
No, he was pressured. He was pressured a lot last year. His footwork was bad, and that's something that Matt Ryan never really had an issue with. So I think that
he also said that he had a lot of problems picking up the offense, though.
Yeah.
The terminology. So what you expected, though, and maybe you were right on, is you were in on Ryan getting better this year because he was so bad. But nobody saw this coming, so I blame Matt Ryan and the coaching staff for last year for lowering the expectations so much.
I'll tell you, the biggest thing to me, I'll never forget how bad he was last year, because Mike Blewett went to Boston College. Matt Ryan went to Boston College. So I knew Blewett was always a big fan of Ryan, and I texted him during a game last year because Matt Ryan was so bad, I couldn't believe it, because he was always a guy that was a pretty good quarterback. He wasn't, you know, the upper echelon of the next, but he was right there, right after that. And I said, is Matt Ryan, do you think he's throwing games? Because I couldn't believe watching this how bad he was playing. Like, it wasn't possible. Like, I thought maybe he was fixing games. I'm like, this is terrible. And then, you know, the coaching staff came out and how he was, and then he threw three interceptions in the first preseason game. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? And it's all turned around. It's amazing what's happening here. There's no predictability of this, for me at least. I wasn't on board with any of this.
Starting to figure it out, and Kyle Shanahan is put together as offensive coordinator. Kyle Shanahan has worked with other teams that have had these kind of successful quarterbacks and good offenses. I think the one that jumps out is Robert Griffin, you know what I mean, from a couple seasons – it seemed like a lifetime ago when he was healthy. But, I think it was – like I said, I didn't draft him as this is my quarterback, I'm going to lock him in. He was a quarterback, too, that I was taking – you know, most of my drafts are 20-round drafts that I was taking in weeks, that I was taking in rounds, you know, that 14 to 16 range. And right now he's locked in, so you can't put this one on me, fantasy players.
No, I think you put it like on Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan. They lowered the expectations. There's still some work for that team.
Who was you drafting as a quarterback too in deeper drafts?
Leagues, say I was getting like the Dalton types, you know.
Yeah.
He's average. Going with Tyrod Taylor.
Now, I like the Tyrod Taylor call.
Was another good one.
That's an excellent one right there.
Yeah.
Taylor's been phenomenal this season.
Even Jameis Winston was a guy that I targeted, but I just didn't get.
This is what pisses me off about the Buffalo thing. As good as Tyrod is playing with no weapons in the passing game, man, Sammy Watkins would have been on point this year.
I tweeted that during the game Monday night.
Oh,
imagine if this guy would have had some weaponry. Yep. Imagine what he would be.
Oh, you tweeted that during the game when he was running roughshod over that vaunted Seattle Seahawks defense in CenturyLink Field with a 12th man going crazy. You tweeted that too. You was honest about that on Monday night.
About it.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I know your agenda.
I'm glad to hear that.
Your agenda's showing again. See, this is what Corey does. He's knocking the Seahawks lately because he wants the Cowboys to make it back to the Super Bowl, and that's the one team that he fears.
I'm not afraid of
Seattle. Yeah, you came up with some wacky.
I'm not afraid of Seattle Seahawks. No,
yes,
I'm not.
You are. You made some wacky scenario last week where they would go to land in the wild card game and they would lose.
That could very well happen.
No, it can't.
That could very well happen.
No, it can't.
They could very well go to Atlanta and get dropped off.
There's zero chance of it happening.
Why?
Because at the very least, they're going to host a wild card game.
How do you know that, Scott?
They're winning the division.
Oh, boy. They couldn't go to Atlanta
unless Atlanta had a better record and they went to the NFC Championship.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. If they got to get on the road in the playoffs and go someplace, if they end up in the Georgia Dome, I'd be very scared if I was you.
Because
Atlanta had them beat. Julio Jones play, that was a pass interference. Atlanta had them beat.
I know it was a pass interference.
And another team that went into Seattle and brought it to them.
See, you hear the fear in his voice. He wants he's setting this up. He wants Atlanta to knock off Seattle so he doesn't have to worry about it. That was a pass interference, number one. Number two, there's no guarantee that Matt Bryan makes the kick. We've seen that. Number three, number three, Cam Chancellor is playing. That's a different team on defense. I know that.
I'm so tired of hearing about Cam Chancellor and Russell Wilson.
Yes,
and his ankle hurt and his back hurt.
He's tired of hearing about the Seahawks because he fears them in the playoffs. They are the one team that can really take out Dallas. Atlanta has the 30th ranked pass defense. They are not winning the NFC.
The Seahawks got the 30th ranked quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
You think that? Did he look like it the other night?
No, he looked healthy.
No, he looked like Russell Wilson again.
He looked like the Super Bowl champion Russell Wilson the other night.
Yeah.
Question on FNTSY Radio. Who's to blame for you not drafting Matt Ryan on your fantasy football squad? The illogical fantasy expert is 73% of the vote. Russell Wilson, 27% of the vote. So 27% of people selected Russell Wilson instead of Matt Ryan. And they're living to talk about it, but they can get another day, and they can make sure they put that together from a fantasy perspective. You know, one of the guys that we didn't touch on, and Corey touched on the quarterback situations, do you think this year illustrates, though, with the Matt Ryan success, the lack of success from Cam Newton, the lack of success from Aaron Rodgers, the lack of success from Andrew Luck, does this finally prove what we've been saying for a long time? You can wait on quarterbacks. Do the constituents in fantasy football kingdom finally understand this?
Tone, I mean, if they don't get it right now, if they didn't get it year after year after year that we've been preaching this, I don't see any way possible where you cannot get it this season. Matt Ryan is the top player in fantasy football. I think David Johnson may have more total points. I'm not certain about that. But when you look at these quarterbacks that are in the top 10, these were all quarterbacks that were going in double-digit rounds of fantasy football drafts. Most of them, Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota, Derek Carr, Matthew Stafford, Phil Rivers, Tyrod Taylor, Dak Prescott off the waiver wire. You know what I mean? So these are the guys. This is where you find your value at in a fantasy football draft. I didn't mention, you know, you still got Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers up there. Cam Newton way down the list. He was the first quarterback going off the board. Russell Wilson having a horrific fantasy season. So, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, we've already seen injury situation pop up. He was a top five fantasy thrower going into the season. I said thrower. That's hip for quarterback. But now, you look at some of these running guys like Marcus Mariota and Tyrod Taylor, Matt Stafford, all of these guys going in double-digit rounds. It makes no sense to take a quarterback early in the draft. I mean, I had leagues, Tone, where I had a league where I took Blake Bortles as my QB1 in the 17th round. I don't care about the quarterback position.
Yeah, and here's two things. Number one, my in-season ranks right now on rotoexperts.com, we're drafting today. I had Kirk Cousins 15th. You could start him.
Overall?
You could stream him. Yes.
As a quarterback, you mean?
Yes, a quarterback. Okay. 15th overall as a quarterback. It's 15th overall.
I think I
might have suffered a concussion. But,
you got confused with your cousins. Well, yeah, you never know what that could mean.
Yeah.
Yo,
that's the main thing I wanted to say about it. It's like, and you know, in the Scott Fishbowl right now, where I'm doing pretty darn well, it's been top 10 all year, number one at one point, my quarterbacks, Matt Ryan and Blake Bortles.
Yep.
Drafted them both, I believe, like after the eighth round, and somebody said to me, there's no way you're going to win because you need quality quarterback in this format.
So what did you do? Did you email them at 3:03 in the morning?
No, I tweeted at them and said, I'll act like I've been here before.
Oh, there you go. He's the king, Scotty Engel, a fantasy executive. We're going to come back next, and we're celebrating the political process, and we want to know, when it's a fantasy show, there's the world of fantasy football, fantasy baseball, basketball, but there's also the world of fantasy, and it's this industry has a lot of men in it, and a lot of us men dream of women, and we have fantasies of women. I don't know if we have fantasies of the First Lady, but that could be happening going forward. And we're going to break down the First Ladies and try to be cognizant of the skills that they possess with some of the top First Ladies in the history of the United States. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scott Engel, the fantasy executive, of course. Young Mike Florio is the producer. That song made me feel like a little like Barry Manilow, like I should be saying I was in the Copacabana or something.
You ever do Copacabana karaoke?
No, I've done like one song, and I was so bad of a singer that the waitress came up and hugged me because she thought I needed some loving.
Ooh.
Because I was terrible.
How is she? She gave you a hug, Tone?
Yeah, she hugged me.
How did it feel?
That's a quality performance then. Tony, next time we're at karaoke, I'm going to do Copacabana just for you.
Really?
Yeah.
And now you're going to dance around like you're Barry Manilow?
Barry Manilow ain't got nothing to me, like in terms of dancing. Like, he's a better singer and songwriter, but I had a new twist to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, fantasy executive, does that feel like that's an offer you can't refuse?
I mean, I want to see this. You know, I'll be there to witness it. But I'm looking at this list, Tony, that you sent with these first ladies and these topics that we're about to discuss with these first ladies right now. And this is going to get very interesting. I'm ready to hop into this.
We got Mike Florio joining us today. So I am going to throw out a topic, and you guys will pick which first lady would be best suited to that topic and explain a reason why. And for this, I don't want to go to the history because we don't know all these first ladies. So we're going to keep the choices of the first ladies to Michelle Obama, Barbara Bush, and Melania Trump will be the three first ladies of choice here. Mike Florio, are you ready to participate in this action?
I am.
All right. So which first lady would you rather have write a speech? Would it be Melania Trump, Michelle Obama, or Barbara Bush?
I think this one is pretty simple. Yeah. I think if you have heirs, you know what I'm saying? I think that we know that this is – I think we should get four checks in the Michelle Obama column for this one.
She not only writes her speeches, she writes
her competitions.
Yeah,
Scott, do you agree that it should be Michelle Obama?
Yeah, I know this as a journalist, and so does Mike Florio being in the Daily News. When your work can be syndicated by Marlena Trump, you know, I think you're doing well if you're syndicated.
Well, there you go. There you have it. Scott, I'll start out with you. Which first lady would you like to see throw out the first pitch? Would it be Michelle Obama, Barbara Bush, or Melania Trump throw out a first pitch at a Major League Baseball game?
See, this is a tough one because Melania is the best looking, but Michelle is the most athletic looking, I think. I think I would have the most confidence in Michelle to reach the plate. She's probably played Little League with the kids. You know, like played catch with the kids. So I'm going to say Michelle Obama.
I'm going to go Barbara Bush. They got some stake in the Texas Rangers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So she's probably Texas Rangers.
Yeah. So she can.
But
go,
I think Michelle went to a lot of baseball games with Barack, though.
On the South Side.
Yeah.
Love story on the
so
South Side of Chicago.
Barbara. You think Barbara's put on the leather once or twice?
I think, you know, and she can go down there.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, you know, she can get help, you know what I'm saying, because they have like a pitcher on staff. You feel what I'm saying? Like they have that option, the Bushes.
What's your thoughts?
I miss George Bush this morning, as crazy as that sounds. You know what I'm saying?
No, I would also go Barbara Bush. Corey stole the reasoning right from me. They owned a baseball team. I'm sure she has thrown a baseball around at least once.
Mike Floyd will start out with you.
She probably belongs on the Rangers pitching staff the way they give up runs.
That's true. We're playing which first lady is suited to fulfill the following task. Next up, Mike Florio, which first lady would you rather have become a replay official in the NFL? Michelle Obama, Barbara Bush, or Melania Trump?
I will go Michelle Obama. She seems like she's pretty key in on details. If you know, Melania Trump didn't realize that her speech was plagiarized, I don't think she's really going to be looking for, like, the key, like what you should look for in a replay. So I'm going to go with Michelle Obama.
What is your thoughts, Scott Engel?
I'm going to say Melania Trump because she looks like the least intelligent of the three, and she would fit well with the rest of the officiating that's going on.
Oh, wow. I would go ahead, Toad. I was going to try to clean that one up.
You know, of all the ways I thought that answer would go, that wasn't one of them.
Yeah,
thanks, mate.
It's great when Mr. Left Field Unexpected actually hears something unexpected. Yeah.
What's your thoughts here, Fantasy Executive, as the replay official?
I think I think I would go with Michelle Obama. I think even if she has no experience or really probably never watched an NFL game, that her education is superior. So I'd look at the fact that you'll be able to tell her what the rules are, right? And then she'll be able to look at the replay and be like, okay, well, according to the rules, this is what the right decision should be.
Corey and I are on the same page.
Here's
so far.
Yep. But here's what I'm going to ask the two of you guys, and it seems like Scott at least has a reasonable explanation. But what about a liberal in charge of replays? Won't she just change everything and won't we be in the same situation that we're already in with the catches in the end zone and we'll have no idea what the hell's going on?
I think she would just go based off what the current rules are. I don't think she would try to get in there and change the rules. You know what I mean? So I think she would stick to the letter of the law. She's a lawyer, right? She's a lawyer.
Yeah, Florio, you feel like a liberal, not the conservative Barbara Bush would be the person here, the one that will stick to the Constitution of the NFL rule book?
Well, Barbara Bush is getting up there in age, so she may have trouble like seeing and all that, so I'll go with Michelle Obama.
All right. We'll go to the Fantasy Executive. Which First Lady would you like to see dressed up in a Halloween costume? Would it be Michelle Obama, Barbara Bush, and Melania Trump? And what Halloween costume would you like to see them in?
I would like to see Melania Trump in a nurse outfit. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to keep it straight 100 with you. I can take this one right here is Melania, whatever. I mean, I would like to see the First Lady. And the First Lady elect dressed up as a nurse for Halloween. I think that'd be very good for the heartbeat of America.
The old school nurse, right?
Yeah,
be the old school nurse because now they wear these scrubs and it's not really.
No, I'm talking about I'm talking about the nurse that you know what I mean.
Yeah,
the skirt's a little bit too
Mike
short.
Mike Florio, which First Lady would you like to see dressed up for Halloween?
I mean, I think this is a very easy one. We're all going to agree. It's Melania Trump.
Yeah.
And what costume would you like to see?
That I'd have to give some thought. The nurse one doesn't sound bad, though.
Sussman wouldn't like that.
Yeah,
I got killed for
not original enough.
Yeah. Well, not updated enough.
I'd want to see her in a pantsuit.
Yeah. Not creative enough.
Scotty, which one do you want to see in Halloween costume, and what costume would they be?
Well, knowing that, her fashion background, I think Michelle should at least design the Halloween costume for Melania, but I'd want to see a Catwoman outfit.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. The Catwoman outfit. That would be great, actually, right?
Yep.
This is very good here. Now, since Florio hasn't had an original idea this whole contest,
I've got first
which
before.
Which first lady would you most likely to see bake chocolate chip cookies?
This is an easy one. It's Barbara Bush, I think. She's 91. I just looked it up. So, grandmas always bake good and stuff. So I'm going to go with Barbara Bush.
Do you think she'd be the only one to wear a hairnet?
Probably.
Yeah. Fantasy exec, who do you want to make the chocolate chip cookies?
Yeah, this is Barbara Bush is 91?
91.
Wow. It has to be Granny Bush. It has to be Granny Bush. She's in the house. You know what I'm saying? She's settled. She has the gray hair flowing. You know what I mean? She's watching The View. She says, you know what? I'm going to get up and bake some cookies. You know what I'm saying? For when the grandkids come over. And so I think it's Barbara Bush. She has grandchildren, right? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Scotty, what's your thoughts on who's
going to pick I'm going to say, you know, take the Catwoman out for from Halloween, and you know, like, or like naked. Like, I'd like to see Milena do it. You know, it's like it'd be more fun. You know, it's just like you don't want to watch Barbara
what
Bush
think?
Cook cookies.
Yeah, you got to remember, Scott. You're talking about the First Lady, Scott.
Yes.
I asked you about who you want to make the cookies.
Come on,
you took it to the staff.
It's Trump's wife.
You
want a trophy wife? Yeah.
You still have to understand. She is the First Lady, though. Scott.
I got to treat her with some sort of respect, like Trump treats women with respect.
You have to be better than Donald Trump.
Burn.
Let me tell you something, okay? Also, she speaks five languages, so these things are going to come out tasting
she
unique.
Does.
Yeah, she's from Yugoslavia. Okay. They're going to taste this different than any other chocolate chip cookie that I probably tasted.
Okay.
Yeah,
Scott, which First Lady would you like to put together a PTA meeting?
A PTA meeting. I'd probably go Barbara Bush there. You know, she's got a literacy background. You know, she could probably make like a good rundown like Tony Cincata does. You know, I'd say Barbara Bush.
Your thoughts, Mike Florio?
I'm going Michelle Obama. She currently has two kids that are in school. I just think Barbara Bush probably hasn't done anything with a PTA in decades, so she's out of touch. And Melania Trump, I'm not trusting her with that. I'm trusting Michelle Obama.
Hey, Barbara Bush got an award for the greatest public service benefiting the disadvantaged. She knows how to work with people.
Yeah, but she hasn't done a PTA meeting in a long time.
I bet Milena can't even spell PTA.
I didn't pick her.
Jesus. What the hell?
This is a slam dunk
right
here.
It's Cardano either.
I have children in school, and my children are in school inside the Beltway. And children absolutely love Michelle Obama. Like, you know, my daughter was, like, crying. Like, she's going to have to leave. And I'm like, she's not, you know, going away forever. She's just not going to be in the White House no more. So then she's a very well-liked by children. So I think that's an easy one.
Yeah. See, this is the first time all three of you are wrong.
Who is it?
It's actually easily Melania Trump because it's the only way daddies go to PTA meetings.
There you go.
I had to correct
to
you guys.
Me why Trump wants no immigration yet his wife is from Yugoslavia.
Oh my goodness! It's not about
his
wife.
We got 26 minutes.
If this was
Scott,
August 1994, if this is like 1995, he's like never going to meet his wife.
Yeah.
Scott, by the way, Tone, right quick, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time is when we hear from Hillary Clinton.
Oh, geez. Now I got to stay up even longer. What the heck? All right, I'm going to tune in for that, though.
People will be listening to Fantasy BFFs. They won't care.
Yes, we'll get all fired about that. Scott, first up for you, which First Lady do you think is most likely to have Biggie Smalls on their iPod?
Let me see. I would probably say Milena because she's the youngest.
Is she?
Milena.
Yeah.
But she was in Yugoslavia. She may not know who Notorious B.I.G. is.
Oh, come on.
Is.
Notorious B.I.G. was like worldwide. She came to the States in like 1996. She had to hear him.
He died in 97. Right? That was 1997 when he was assassinated.
Yeah, but his music was popular by then.
I don't think it's her.
This is definitely Michelle Obama, Scott.
All right, it's Barbara Bush.
Barbara Bush doesn't know who Biggie Smalls is.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm telling you, Milena, but like that's probably how like Donald Trump met her in a club, and they would dance at a Biggie Smalls.
It wasn't that kind of club, Scott.
there is no way that they met dancing to Biggie Smalls.
No,
she was a model. She was a model. You don't think but she went down the runway to a Biggie song?
These are very different type of high level elite.
Obama's the hippest
club.
President ever.
Yeah, this ain't that kind of
club. She went down the runway. At some point in her modeling career, she had to go down the runway to a Biggie song.
I mean, she could, but she could. This could have been a mail order situation, Scott. I'll just keep it 100 with you. And I hate to talk bad about the First Lady elect. Excuse me.
Fantasy executive, who do you think has the Biggie Smalls on their iPod?
It's definitely Michelle Obama.
Really?
Yeah.
Really. And Mike Florio,
it's
you
hands
agree?
Down. You know Barack Obama's a big Biggie fan. It's hands down.
Yeah.
It's too obvious. That's why Florio's picking it.
I just don't think Trumps meant dancing to Biggie Smalls.
Be creative. Be creative.
Mike Florio, next question I'm going to start out with you. Which First Lady is most likely to make Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers straight?
Let me preface this by saying I'm not sure in which context you mean, but I'm going to go with Melania Trump here just because we've all agreed she's the best looking one. So
I didn't say that.
Oh, all right. Well, Corey hasn't said that. I didn't see it, so I'll go Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Fantasy executive, which First Lady could make Aaron Rodgers straight?
I'm going to have to say Melania Trump on this one also is probably – first, I didn't know Aaron Rodgers wasn't straight.
That's what I said. I didn't know what this means.
I didn't know Aaron Rodgers wasn't
he's
straight.
He's dating Olivia Munn. I think he's pretty straight.
I think he should be. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of times these famous people have, they get, like, a real pretty good woman, and it's like the prop. I mean, if you Google things out there, there's things on the internet about Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Is the internet always right? Is it always real?
Well, it wasn't right yesterday.
Scott, first of all, I don't know if the I guess we're debating whether Aaron Rodgers is straight now, but if he wasn't straight, who would make him straight?
Barbara Bush. Because she would sit him down and lecture him.
Oh, okay.
You know, in a grandma
she
sort of way.
She used therapy to make him straight, right?
Exactly, exactly. Plus, I found out that Barbara Bush was, like, born in my hometown. She's from Flushing, New York.
Oh, Barbara Bush is from Queens?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Me neither. That's news to me.
Yeah. She's from my hometown.
Maybe she'll be the one with Biggie on the iPod.
I told you. So you got to be creative, Florio.
All right.
Next up, which First Lady will assist earthquake victims in their time of need, Scott Engel?
I think it's going to be Milena. I think when people are not feeling well, you know, she's going to model for them and make them feel better.
Scott voted four times yesterday, I think, in this election, based on the amount of times he's... Scott, did you go heavy on the poll for the Trumps? Did you vote for all of them?
No.
No? No. How about which one do you think assists earthquake victims, Mr. Mike Florio?
This is a close one to me between Michelle Obama and Barbara Bush, but I'll go Barbara Bush. Like we said, she'll bake him some cookies. I mean, going back to that previous question, she'll make him feel at home, like that grandma warmth. So I'll go Barbara Bush.
Yeah, I'm going to go Barbara Bush.
Yourself?
I'm going to go Barbara Bush on this one also.
She's 91. Like, could she go anywhere near an earthquake or ravaged community?
No, well, they'll, like, bring the people to her.
They'll fly her in.
Yeah, they'll
She'll
fly.
Give them some cookies.
Give her an assistant,
you know.
Yeah.
She's been there before.
Question.
She's done it. Yeah.
This next one is
Yeah, last
reckless.
Question. I'm going to ask Mike Florio. We'll start out with him. The last question is, UFC fighter John Jones was suspended for 1 year because he failed a drug test, but he actually says it was a contaminated Cialis pill. He's only 29 years old, and he said he could no longer get it up, and so he's been suspended for a year. Do you think which First Lady could help out the problems with John Jones, the UFC fighter? Would it be Melania Trump, Barbara Bush, or would it be Michelle Obama, Mike Florio?
I mean, you preference this question a lot different than you had it on the rundown. But I mean, I'm going to go Melania Trump on this one. I don't think Barbara Bush is getting anywhere near helping him with that problem. I'm going to go Melania Trump.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I think, you know, John Jones, this is the craziest explanation ever for a failed drug test. So at 29 years old that he has this issue. So I think he needs substantial help here.
Yeah, and I think that person that can bring him the most bang for his buck would be Melania Trump. I think she can help John Jones out in that category. Considering her background.
The king, are you going to make this a clean sweep?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to say Barbara Bush.
Here we go.
I'm going to say Barbara Bush. She's going to sit him down like she did Aaron Rodgers. She's going to say, son.
It's all mental.
Okay, look, Jeb had this issue. George had this issue. Okay, my boys have been through it. Okay, I'm going to put you in the right directions with the right doctors, et cetera. Okay, the family has been through this.
It's a good call, Scotty.
Oh, poor Jeb.
That's a great one, Scott. There you go, Jeb Bush.
There's no substitute for experience.
Poor Jeb. I know Jeb. I know Jeb is like, this is ridiculous.
Now, not only did Trump destroy him, now Scott Engel's saying
Scott Engel's saying Jeb can't get it up. Donald Trump could have said that and still would have had this result today. He could have been on a debate stage talking about, why would you vote for this guy? He can't get it up. And everybody would have been like, oh my God. And then he still would have been the 45th president. By a landslide.
I think she's going to care because in 1992, Barbara Bush was talking about abortion and homosexuality. And she said personal things should be left out of platforms and conventions. So she's going to pull them aside and say, there's a personal matter. I'm going to take care of you.
There we go. And I don't know why we decided to do this.
Hey, you put it on the rundown.
I know it sounds good at 4 in the morning and 9:30. I don't know. We'll be back with the final segment of Roto Experts in the Morning. And Greg Suss will be back tomorrow, and you won't have to worry about this. Stay tuned for more Roto Experts in the Morning.
Oh, boy.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the fantasy executive, of course, the King, Scott Engel, and the guy, Greg Sussman, is back and better than ever. Sussmania, what's going on?
Tony, I can't say I'm back and better than ever. That's not something I can say. But, you know, I am here. I am here, live in studio.
Now, Sussmania, you could have saved us as we just evaluated the first ladies.
So it's interesting, Tone. I was on my train in here. I was in Pennsylvania last night, which is a winning state for sure. I'll never be back there. But I was on the train in, and I was listening to the show, of course. And I heard this entire segment about first ladies. And I noticed nobody knows how to say the president-elect's wife's name correctly. No one knows what country she's actually from. Melania.
What country is she from?
She's from Slovenia.
Slovenia. Which was part of Yugoslavia.
Years ago.
At that time.
Years,
so technically I was correct.
When she was born, it was. When she came over, it was Slovenia.
Yeah, but when she was there, she was Yugoslavia. The judges give it to me.
Oh, God.
So based on, Scott, what you're saying is that we could call every American British.
Yes, precisely. Yeah. I heard that, and it's true. Brexit happened here again in the United States. The polling was dead wrong. Never to look at that poll the rest of my life. I have no reason to ever look at a poll ever again, Tony.
That was our whole basis, is the fantasy experts and the polling people are the same people because everybody gets everything wrong. And it was an amazing situation. Now, I got to ask you, last night, I watched that thing. I waited till it was official last night with the whole situation there with the presidency. Now, what do you think went wrong? I started out with the whole show this morning where I was really appalled at Hillary Clinton. Like, she's done a lot of things wrong, and people didn't. But I didn't care one way. Every politician's the same.
Yeah.
But when she sent the campaign director out there to speak to the people, I said, this lady is as low as everybody ever thought she was.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't get up there, and two people working for 2 years, and go out there and say a few words and send people home. That really left a bad taste in my mouth, and I hope she never runs again and we never see her again.
Well, here's where I stand on that. I think you're 100,000% right, in honesty, here, Tony, because she is someone that a lot of people have said a lot of negative things about her through this campaign. I don't want to say I defended her, but I thought she was the lesser of two evils. And for all the people that thought she was evil and thought that she was this liar and this person, she came out and did exactly what they said they would do. I mean, she was the one that we all said if he would have won, she would, you know, bring the country closer. And she's doing it this morning. That's whatever. How do you not do it last night? How do you not do that? And it's disgusting that she sent her campaign manager out there. It's disgusting that all these people that sat there for 6 hours at the Javits Center, she couldn't speak to. It's really deplorable. And I said this when I walked into the guys here, that She proved it in 08 that she's a horrible campaigner and a horrible candidate. Nothing changed. She learned nothing in 8 years. The fact that she lost Wisconsin without stepping foot in the state since the convention is pathetic. And it's very, very clear that all the people that voted for Bernie Sanders back in the primaries in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Maine, she never got them to come around because she's a horrible, horrible candidate and she didn't get it. For all those people on Twitter that said, listen, and Bernie Sanders himself actually tweeted this, said the mainstream media and Hillary Clinton is underestimating the angst in this country. It is 100% true. The angry, as Scott just put it to me, the angry white man stepped up and they're pissed off at the government. Now, is Donald Trump just going to become another just regular Republican here that's just going to side with whatever the Republicans want to do? He has claimed he was not. As someone that doesn't necessarily support what the Republicans stand for, I hope that is true. I hope that Donald Trump actually comes in and says, listen, I'm going to shake up everything. Good, shake up everything. I don't want to see him just, hey, the Republicans have all three phases of government. He becomes a standard Republican. That's just a liar, and he would become like every other politician.
You know, the most fascinating thing to me is that I never seen the Michael Moore article until yesterday,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Where he predicted Donald Trump would win, and he nailed the whole thing,
yep. You know,
exactly what was going to happen, the feelings that people were getting, and I didn't get it until Corey this morning too, the whole Michigan situation involving the water situation that was a plague of that government, and people felt that Barack Obama didn't do enough
mm-hmm.
For those people out there in that crisis. I didn't really put all that into play that was going to become a big thing yesterday in that election.
There's a rumor right now that Daily Roto is talking to Michael Moore.
Jesus. I didn't realize, you know, some of those things that were going to be as big in the election last night as came out to be, and mm-hmm. they were. And
they didn't know it. They certainly didn't know it either.
The funniest thing I said tonight is that nobody admitted to voting for Donald Trump.
Yep.
So it was one of those things that people kept silent. And I don't think in actuality anyone voted for Donald Trump. I think they just voted against politicians.
Establishment.
And that was
yeah,
one
it was
of those
like
things.
The lesser two evils, like Greg said, yeah.
Well, and that's what I thought Hillary Clinton was. No, they voted against establishment. They voted against someone angry that was here saying, we are screwed up as a country. We need to be better. You know, the world doesn't respect us. Angry, as you said, Scott, just being angry. And that is very, very, very scary to me.
Yeah, it's
very scary.
He cleaned up in the Midwest and the South and, you know, places like Texas and Wyoming and, you know, places like that where you had, like, you know, those angry older people and their wives and stuff like that.
You're naming, Scott, you're naming places that always vote Republican, Texas and Wyoming. I mean, there is Michigan, the working class in Michigan and in Wisconsin that has voted Democrat for the last, that's voted Democrat my whole life, legitimately my entire life. And they are angry and they are pissed off and they have a guy that's saying, you know what, I'm angry, I'm pissed off.
But here's the thing. You know, I angry about what?
That I don't know. You want to know my honest answer to that?
Yeah.
Totally 100% honest, first thing that comes to my mind.
Yep.
The fact that this country had a black man as the president of the United States, the fact that how far we have come as a country with marriage equality, I think that they want their old country back because they're making America great again, not, you know, better in the future.
And
I hate to say that to you,
it's
but that's
truth.
How I feel.
But that's the way I look at it. I'm interested to hear what Tony would have to say on it, but I kind of feel like, what do you have to be so mad about?
Guy's talking about, you know, building a wall and
yeah.
keeping the terrorists out. This is what this kind of person wants to hear, who votes for Trump.
I think you guys underestimate a little bit about the unemployment right now, the unemployment status in the United States.
It's been down thanks to Obama.
No,
it's still
bad,
though.
There's a lot of jobs that are low-paying jobs that are available. That is the most distorted number in the world. You think about all those union jobs that were in Detroit, Michigan, that are now out of the country, and those were good-paying jobs, and all these jobs are leaving, and all these customer service jobs that are in India, in other countries. You can't call customer service in any company and get an American on the phone. Those jobs don't exist anymore. And just because the number's there, the medium income in the United States is lower than it was in 1999. That's frightening.
I also got to say that a lot of this was a bad job by the Clinton campaign not getting people out to vote. Let me read you this. Mitt Romney got more votes in 2012 than Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton both did, and he lost by 5 million votes. Nobody voted yesterday, guys.
You talked about it, Corey, about a lot of people staying away.
A lot of people stayed away. Then you had, yeah. Greg was talking about the situation in Michigan. That's Barack Obama. They dropped the ball on Flint. He should have been out there on the front lines of that. Those people stayed home. Detroit was humongous last night. They didn't show up.
I think what happened there, right, is though those numbers were distorted because Barack Obama bring out the black vote. And what happened was Hillary couldn't get them people to come back out and vote again, right? They sent Barack Obama to some states and Michelle Obama was active, but they couldn't get those people to vote again.
Nah, they in North Carolina, they didn't show up.
They didn't show up in North Carolina. I think Florida was – everyone expected Florida to be close. That didn't necessarily surprise me at all. It all comes down to that Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, where they took everything for granted there. The Democrats took everything for granted. And I have to ask you guys, and I don't know how much – I mean, any of us have looked into this, but I just don't know where the Democrats go from here. 2 years, things don't set up well for them in midterms. And then in 4 years, I don't think they have any idea what to do. It's funny because we thought that, all right, the Republicans they're just going to go back to the well in 4 years with the Ted Cruz's and the Marco Rubio's. And now I have no idea where the Democrats go. Hillary Clinton cannot run again. I mean, the old establishment cannot run again. Do you go far left with the Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren people? Do you find someone younger? I have no idea what they do in 4 years, and that scares the hell out of me.
Elizabeth Warren would have won this by 20 points.
Correct.
In the popular vote.
Correct. It's true. So, it's true.
It's just so – if you just had a guy up there or a – guy that you took off the scrap heap and he wasn't. I think that's the whole thing is you want someone that the nation doesn't know. Barack Obama, as good as he was and he was charismatic, there wasn't a big track record on him. The only negativity came about his whole birth certificate, right? And that was so crazy that people just said, hey, you know what? They're trying to keep him down. They're trying to keep a black man out of office. That it turned into be a rallying cry. So I think the biggest thing is it's going to be someone off the grid. It's going to be someone you least expect that's going to become a prominence in the Democratic Committee.
Yeah, Donald Trump actually tweeted 4 years ago, the Electoral College is a disaster for democracy. The same Electoral College that caused him to be president, not the popular vote, but whatever.
He said he didn't pay taxes because it's a system and he knows how to use it, so he's the same way with the Electoral College.
Yeah, there you go right there. The system. Yep.
The system has got it all fired up. And coming up next is a system called the Fantasy Best Friends Forever. Greg, do you think these friends will be discussing the politics first for ladies or anything like that?
I do not. Is Nando on the show today, Corey?
No, it's
you and Jake.
Me and Jake rocking and rolling.
I can't see politics being discussed now. I think we'll go to snap percentages and then snap percentages. We'll do some games of some sort. No,
you do nice with the snap percentages, Greg.
I do. But that's yesterday. I honestly, Tony, I know you wanted to talk some basketball here. I lost money in FanDuel last night because it was just a terrible night.
I came in first in a tournament last night.
That's
I
great.
Cashed the other two. I didn't watch any of the games because I was stuck to this damn thing last night, right? So, but I did. I couldn't stay away totally, so I had the laptop late, probably about 11 o'clock on my lap and was watching the scoreboards on DraftKings.
I got crushed last night.
Really? See, last night it was a big. I was a big Seth Curry guy last night.
I went with Stefalosha. That did not work. I think your boy Zach LaVine also didn't help me.
Yeah, he only got 21 points last night, I think, from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
But last night I actually played DeMarcus Cousins. He didn't have a big game for him.
Same.
And I still was able. I was still able to win.
I don't know who the hell you had in there that I didn't. Then this is crazy.
Oh, I'm gonna. Scott, say a few words to people.
About what?
Oh, my God. Scott, he's a radio host. He can't just come up with a couple words.
I didn't know what you were going with this.
Oh, man.
I was stalling so I could get my lineup for Mr.
Oh, okay.
Greg
you wanted
Sussman
me to help you out. Okay.
You know,
yeah,
that's
what I was looking for.
Any stack, any stacks really? You like tonight, Sussman?
I haven't even looked
yet. Here's who
man.
I had last night. J.J. Barrera, Seth Curry, Rudy Gay, Marquise Chris, DeMarcus Cousins, Damon Lillard, Wesley Matthews, and Eric Bledsoe would maybe be victorious. So those were all guys after 10:30. Coming up next is Fantasy Best Friends Forever. Tune in tonight, 4 o'clock Eastern. Out of Bounds, Greg Sussman, myself, Corey, and Mike Cardano. We'll discuss this and everything wrong in the world.